Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Another crazy week. Nationally and internationally, it seems each week becomes successfully crazier. People are doing off-the-wall things all over the world. And we probably had a major thing this week, major thing. We had a major ball thrown into the works here that's screwing everything up or may screw everything up for our country with regard to its nuclear negotiations with Iran. 47 Republican senators, not Republican, 47 senators, mostly Republican, sent a letter to Iran and said, hey, these negotiations that are going on, we don't support them. The president doesn't have the authority. He's going to have to come back to the Senate for ratification or approval, advice, and consent. If he doesn't have to come back, the next president can automatically terminate and cancel this deal if it is only an agreement as opposed to a treaty. And this could occur in 2 years following our next presidential election. What they did is absolutely wrong. Foreign affairs have always been the bailiwick of the president. If a treaty is involved, the Senate has to approve. If it's just an agreement, they do not. Don't ask me the difference between treaty and agreement. I don't know. The little I do know, what I do know, is that there are more agreements than treaties. It's something, an agreement less than a treaty, and it is done very often, apparently, between our government and other governments. And we've never had a situation like this where they're splitting the hairs. The letter was drafted by freshman Senator Tom Cotton, 37 years old from Arkansas. 37-year-old freshman Senator Tom Cotton, a right-winger all the way, Republican right-winger. Now, I have to laugh. If the Republicans were serious about this, if they thought they had a shot in upsetting the negotiations, why would they have their group led by a 37-year-old freshman senator? This kid's, he's a kid. He's still wet behind the ears, government-wise. He doesn't have the experience. And yet, who's on television? Who signed the letter? It's his letter, supported by the other senators. Who is doing the public appearances? He's on television all the time the last 24 hours. And you've got to listen to him. I tell you, I'm not impressed with the way he talks, how he looks, and what he says, especially the way he's making his delivery. He reminds me of someone, let's say a high school student, who has memorized a speech, and if you interrupt him in the middle, he won't be able to continue. He has to go back to the beginning and start. Listen to this guy talk. He says the same thing over and over, and I'm not impressed with him. I don't think the world is impressed with him. I think he's getting his 15 seconds, which unfortunately may turn into 15 minutes. Now, there's no question the Republicans are trying to embarrass our president. They're showing the world that we have a dysfunctional government. You and I know our government's dysfunctional. It's been dysfunctional for 6 years. Look at last week, Netanyahu was invited by the Republicans, by Speaker Boehner, to speak before the Congress. Unheard of. You don't do that. The president invites the leader of another nation to come to our country. A congressman, a House of Representative man. No one does this. Our president does it. That's the way it has traditionally been, but they broke the rule then. Now this letter, we're in negotiations. Obama's in heavy negotiations on a very important issue, nuclear weapons. This stuff's beyond my pay grade and yours. We have to believe what people say. All I know is the Republicans with that letter have gone into an area that no one has ever gone into before when it comes to foreign affairs. And it is not healthy. It does not make us look good, especially with Iran. I believe it weakens our position at the negotiating table. The only way it could not, if they realize what nuts these Republicans are. And that's the only way I can describe them. Congress should keep its nose out of the business of the president. They should keep their nose out of a situation where it does not belong. Again, the situation is wrong. Our two parties here, Republicans and Democrats, can't get along. The Republicans seem especially hateful and vehement when it comes to the president. I honestly believe, because no president has been treated the way Obama has, that when he was elected 6 years ago for the first time, they said, we're not going to put up with this black guy. We're not going to kowtow to a black president. We're going to show him. These people hate and dislike our president. These are Americans who hate and dislike our president. It's not good. They're not acting to me as quality citizens, proper representatives. When they do something whose primary purpose is to embarrass and aggravate their leader, the President of the United States. Now, one of the problems is we got to get rid of these people. And the way we have gotten rid of people who are screwing up the government in the past is by voting them out of office. The only trouble here is we can't vote these people out of office because over the years, these congressional districts have been gerrymandered. And the same people return to Congress all the time. You can't beat them. And I don't know where we're going because the American way is to throw the bums out, and we're not able to do it because the situation has changed. I'm disturbed also because I think the way our country has been going, especially the last 6 years, that our basic values are changing. Our values are changing. We don't seem to believe in what we always believed in. We don't seem to treat things properly that have always been treated, maybe in a religious fashion, you know how I'm using the term. Our values are changing, and this is not healthy for our democracy, because none of us want to live this way. Now, I want to talk about war and war equipment. There are many wars going on right now. Can you believe all the wars in Africa, in the Ukraine, in the Middle East? There's several of them going on. In Asia, war is being threatened. China's shaking up Japan. And other little countries are concerned and may go into war. I don't know what's going on, but I've never seen so many wars at one time that we're not involved in yet, okay? What are we doing? These countries that are at war, these rebels that are at war, these people that are at war, they need weapons. They need guns. They need airplanes. They need ammunition. And where do they get it? They buy it. Forget we give a lot of these countries all this stuff. Most of them already have the money from someplace. They go out and buy from the American military industrial complex the guns, planes, and ammunitions they need. None of the what I'm talking about has nothing to do with what goes to our Army, Navy, and Marines, and Air Force. It's what's sold by manufacturers over and above them to people who can pay, to countries and groups that can pay them. This is called war profiteering. War profiteering. The United States is involved big time exporting, okay, ammunition, guns, and airplanes to these countries. Now, we are, the United States is the biggest generator of exporting military weapons. Of all the weapons being sold to these dissidents and these other countries and these groups and these rebels worldwide, we sell one-third of the military equipment and weapons to other people. Again, this one-third is not what is going to our military or our government. It's what's going to other governments. It is a booming business. Up 13.4% since last year. Last year, they made $64.4 billion, okay? $64.4 billion exporting weapons, doing, exercising war profiteering. Now, why is this happening? We know the wars, the people need this stuff. Everybody's got to kill everybody. Everybody's got to be involved. The other side has a gun. You have to have a gun. If they've got an airplane, you want an airplane. Well, number one, we have emerging economies all over the world. Countries that 10 years ago were nothing, didn't have much money, they're coming. They're developing some of these, a small middle class, a better middle class. Their people are starting to eat. Their governments are better, more stable. And most of them need military aircraft. Why do they need military aircraft? What is over in Syria right now? The Allied forces, as I will call them, the group the United States is with, we're bombing the hell out of ISIS, okay, in Syria. They need airplanes. They need military aircraft. In the Middle East and Asia, there's wars going on all over the place, just not in Syria. Japan is scared of China right now. China's making the other little countries in Asia scared. They're all buying guns and ammunition and airplanes. And the more they have, the higher the tension level. It's a big business. I just wanted to share with you how big it is, where it's going, and it's not a healthy situation. Want to go to Russia now. Would you believe, I don't have to tell you this, a study just came out that said Russians do not like Americans. They don't like us. I'll tell you how much they don't like us. This is what's shocking. 81% of the Russians, 81%, view the United States negatively. Only 13% positively. So 81% of the Russian people do not like us. Now, why don't they like us? Well, you've got the Ukraine situation. This is really screwing everything up over there in Europe. You've got to remember, the rebels over there are being supported by the United States. Russia is supporting whatever the existing government's supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you how the Ukrainians look at it. Suppose this was, we're sending, first of all, the Americans are sending guns and ammunition and support of all kinds to the rebel forces who are fighting the established government who is supported by Russia and Putin. Now, suppose this was Canada and the United States. Think of it for a moment. Canada and the United States. All of a sudden, we have a dispute with Canada, nothing bad, but Russia starts sending troops in to Canada and guns and munitions and money to combat the United States. How would we feel about Russia then? How would we feel about Canada? The situation here, to clarify and simplify it, is what's going on in the Ukraine, between the Ukraine and Russia, is the same thing that would be going on between Canada and the United States. If, you know, the United States is funding the rebels and Russia came over here and funded the Canadian rebels. It's the same thing. So you must understand why they're irritated. I'm not saying they're right. I'm saying you must understand first why they are irritated. Then comes Putin. This guy, I'm going to tell you, is a genius. He's very popular. He fights for Russia at every turn, at every point. You've got to remember, the Russian people of today are not the backward Russian people of 1918, 1948, or 1968. They're more educated, they're big, they got smarts, and they love Putin because Russia has been knocked on their ass since 1990 when they had to break up the Soviet Union, and Russia itself had a feeling of defeatism. They were knocked down. Putin has given them national pride again. What scares me, this is like Hitler gave the Germans national pride before World War II. The economy, you say, is bad in Russia. Well, I'll tell you something. Our sanctions are hurting Russia big time, killing their dollar, whatever it may be over there. But at the same time, the Russian people are not suffering that much. And at the same time, they stand with their leader, Putin. No question about it. The people, in fact, today feel closer to him and have more dislike for the United States than ever before. They look at us, the United States, as the cause of all their problems. Putin, he's going to make money for Russia eventually. Look what he's doing. Wherever they're screwing him up, we are screwing him up, the allies, so to speak, with regard to his oil exports. 75% of Russia's gross income comes from their petroleum exports. We keep cutting off what they're doing, their supplies. Every time we do, a week or two later, Putin comes up with a new deal with somebody that's going to be bigger and better, like China and so forth, to provide them with fuel. The man's a genius. He's getting away with murder, and he has. Look what he did. They say he just killed last week, what was his name, the gentleman, Boris Nemitsov, is the leader of the opposition to him in Russia. Let me tell you something else about Putin. He is self-serving. It is reported now, it was reported this past week, that he is the richest man in the world. Did you hear what I said? He is the richest man in the world. He is purported to be worth, he is alleged to be worth $200 billion. Now, where did he get this money from? Simple. He has a piece of everything over there, like the oil companies. They're owned by people independently. But everything that the government supports, he has a piece of. And with regard to the biggest oil company over there exporting petroleum, he is a significant shareholder in that company. And he just keeps making buck after buck, money after money. We're going to talk about cats. How's that? But it isn't going to be nice what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to talk about cats and the bubonic plague. You remember the bubonic? No, you don't remember. You know. We all know about the bubonic plague for 200 or 300 years, roughly 300 years. It killed one-third of the population in Europe. One-third of the population in Europe was killed by the bubonic plague. Once the disease or the germ hits you, most people live only 4 hours. Their throats close up and they die. Now, how did the bubonic plague get so big? Well, you have to understand, in the 1200s, and this thing, the bubonic plague, raged between 1200 and 1500, in the 1200s, the Catholic Church Pope at the time, he was into witchcraft, not into himself, but he was saying, we've got to watch out for witches. There are witches, they are for real, and they are the incarnation or reincarnation of the devil. And he said, cats, what do witches always have around them? Think of them. They're on the broom, but what do they always have? They have cats. So cats also must be the incarnation or reincarnation of the devil. So he ordered, the Pope ordered, all cats killed. Within 100 years, there were very few cats living in Europe. Who spread the bubonic plague? Rats. Who normally would keep rats under control? Cats. Because of the Pope, we didn't have that many cats. As a result, the rat population grew and spread this terrible plague all over the known world in effect at the time, killing one-third of the population. All because the Catholic Pope, demented, they're not all smart, demented, said, witches are the devil, and because cats are associated with witches, cats are the devil also. Kill all the cats, which the people did. Going to move over to ISIS now. I want to talk about ISIS for a moment and beheadings. I wrote my column this week, by the way, in Conk Life, which publishes tomorrow. The article is on ISIS and beheadings. Basically, what I was trying to say, I was asking first and then answering the question I asked, why now, with what ISIS is doing with the beheadings, burning people alive, burying people alive, why is it bothering us so much? Why? Because this stuff between you and me, and you should know if you don't, has been going on for centuries. Since 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, we were cutting people's heads off, burning them alive. Big stuff, burning them alive, all right? Well, I believe, and it's simple, it's the internet. ISIS takes the pictures of whatever they're doing. They cut a guy's head off. They take the picture. They're going to burn the guy alive. They take a picture. It goes on the internet. Social media picks it up, and it's moved all over the world within a matter of hours, okay? Millions of people get to look at it. And this is bringing home, you know, words are one thing, but a picture, they say, is worth 8,000 words. And those pictures, those videos on television, on the internet, They're doing it to us, and they're making us realize that, oh, this is horrible. We got to stop these people. All I'm trying to say, it's been there forever, and this is not new that man acts in this way. I'm going to give you some examples quickly here. In 1811, in the United States of America, in 1811, 21 black slaves near New Orleans revolted. They weren't going to work anymore the way they were. They did not want to be slaves. They were caught. Most of them were beheaded. Their heads were put on spikes and gates. 1621, the first Thanksgiving, Plymouth. Remember, the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth Rock. Then they had a Thanksgiving after the first year. The Indians and the Pilgrims sat down. They ate turkey, venison, pumpkin pies, and everything else, we're told. Everybody's happy. We recognize it as the first Thanksgiving. No one at the time said this is a day of Thanksgiving, though. You must understand this. And it was the Pilgrims and the Indians who were sitting down together. 2 years later, 1623, 2 years after this big banquet that was had that we all celebrate, Miles Standish, and you can remember his name, he was the head of the whatever the soldiers were protecting Plymouth at the time. He personally chopped off the head of the Indian chief of the Pequot, P-E-Q-U-O-T tribe. He cut his head off, and then he took it and he put it on a spike outside of Plymouth Fort. Let's keep going on. It's 1637. The Pilgrims and the Indian tribe, Pigo tribe, are not getting along. One day in 1637, the Pilgrims took 700 men, women, and children, 700 men, women, and children, and clubbed them to death. And the day after these 700 people were shot and clubbed to death, the governor of Massachusetts at the time declared a day of Thanksgiving because these Indians had been wiped out. A day of Thanksgiving. That's the first time we heard in history a day of Thanksgiving. Not when they all sat down to eat the first time. Now, those attacks continued. I don't know what was wrong with the Indian tribe, but the Pilgrims did not like them and kept attacking them. And this turned into a money thing, too. There came a time when women and children, Indian women and children over 14, were sold into slavery. Listen to what I'm saying. Were sold into slavery. Boats of 500 slaves were going out of New England ports on a regular basis to Europe to sell the slaves. It's slavery in reverse as we understand it. And this is what the Pilgrims were doing to the women and children, the Indian women and children. They were selling them as slaves by the thousands. Stamford, Connecticut, a beautiful community. I've been there many times. I have relatives there. They cut the heads off, I don't know, a couple of hundred Indians. They cut their heads off. The Pilgrims cut their heads off. And then everybody grabbed their heads and started rolling them down the streets of Stamford like soccer balls. Let's get religious about this for a moment. John the Baptist, beheaded. Remember the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition especially? Church organized, church run. Catholic church organized, Catholic church run. Severe torture everyone was put to until they admitted they were disciples of the devil. Then they were burned at the stake because it was understood or determined or decided that burning at the stake was a more humane way of killing a person than torturing him to death. I don't understand. Now, the Salem witch hunts in this country. Would you believe this? Remember the Salem witch hunts. Everybody was a witch. The first these people who were thought to be witches had severe torture. No question about it. Then, just like the Inquisition on the other side of the ocean, they were burned alive at the stake. When they admitted they were a witch, then they were relieved from being tortured, but they were taken outside, tied to a post, and burned to death while still alive. Go to Cambodia, 1975, Khmer Rouge. 2 million people killed and beheaded, the head strewn all over the countryside. Hitler, 6 million Jews. I don't have to tell you anything. What people don't know is he also killed 3 million Russian soldiers who were in concentration camp and 2 million Poles who were in concentration camps also. Most recently, Bosnia. Bosnia and Herzegovina, 1992-1995. Whenever the Serbs and the Croats were captured, There was a ritualistic beheading system. They were beheaded. Most of them were beheaded, and they had a system that was based, I don't know in what, in religion and history or something, by which they cut their heads off. Now, today, Saudi Arabia, it's legal to behead people. They are the only civilized country. I owe that term civilized. It doesn't fit, but they are the only nation in the civilized world that beheads people. Just yesterday, they beheaded a Filipino who murdered someone. This was their 40th beheading of the year. Now, this is pretty high because generally they only behead 80, 85 people a year. Here is, we're not even through the third month of the year, and already they're up to 40, okay? They're having a banner year. All I'm trying to say is this is all wrong, but it has been wrong for hundreds of years. Realize it. This is man's inhumanity to man. I don't think it's ever going to end something like this. It periodically rears its ugly head because that's the way it is. For some reason, people like to kill other people. It seems to be intrinsic within us as human beings to go out and kill people in the fashion I have described. Let's go now to Nicolas Maduro, president of Venezuela. I've been talking about this guy for 3 years. I started with him on my television show 3 years ago. He's crazy, number one. I don't know why the people haven't revolted. He's a growing problem in Venezuela. You recall, he's the fellow that they first ran out of toilet paper. How the hell do you run out of toilet paper? You just order it, even if you got to get it from another country. And they still don't have enough toilet paper. He ran out of milk. The babies don't have milk. They ran out of everything, including food. Most recently, they ran out of condoms. You want a condom, if it's available, it costs you $21 to $25 for one condom. Why is this important? It's important so people can have sex. But the reason it is more important is that they are having a severe HIV epidemic in Venezuela, and they don't have condoms. He's the president. He should know how to get these things. Two years ago, things were going bad. The people were getting upset with him. He started, would you believe this? This is a cabinet post, a Department of Happy Times. He has a secretary of Happy Times. He recently said about a month ago that Vice President Biden was planning a coup. He was going to have him thrown out. And Obama didn't know about it. And Maduro was going to make Obama aware. He calls us imperialists now. This past Saturday, an unspecified number of Americans were arrested for espionage and recruitment activities against the government in Venezuela. These are American citizens. They're part of the coup, he claims. Also, an American pilot who was in possession of all kinds of documents, quote unquote, which prove that the American government is planning a coup against Venezuela. It goes on and on. This guy's like Castro, because every time Castro said America was bad and was going to do something, he got stronger for 50 years in Cuba. And this guy's doing the same thing, and he's getting away with it. This past week, Maduro mocked Obama. Well, why not? Everyone else mocks him. And said Maduro gave himself special powers to defend his country against imperialistic aggression, us. Now, Obama yesterday signs an executive order declaring an unusual and extraordinary threat to national security and ordered sanctions against Venezuela. The show for this week, that's the story for this week. I hope you enjoy the topics I select. I think we should know about them, and they're eye-opening. Whether you agree with me or disagree is immaterial. I think we should just understand and know what is going on. I enjoyed doing the show. I thank you again for joining me. I look forward to having you join me next week again. In the meantime, many of you listen to this archived. Black Talk Radio carries it archived. Also on YouTube, it is archived. And on Facebook now, my Key West Lou Facebook page, you can get the show. It's in the navigation column. It says Black Talk Radio. You press the button and you can listen to any of my shows. I personally archive it there. So it's available. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. I keep reminding you, if you like this show, buy the book. If you do not like this show, do not buy the book. Thank you again for joining me. Speak with you next week.